Welcome to Earth Eats, a show of real food and green living. I'm Annie Corrigan.
And I'm Chef Daniel Orr.
We're getting ready for Thanksgiving this week with a savory pumpkin side dish. Food writer Christine Barber talks about her love of sweet potatoes and how she can't imagine a Thanksgiving without them. And we'll be using up the last few green tomatoes from the garden for a fried green tomato recipe that is like nothing you've ever tasted. But first, here's Anna Pranger with a look at this week's news.
News of the Senate's dealings with the Food Safety Modernization Act continues to make headlines. Most recently, the Teeter-Hagen Amendment was added to the bill. It would make exempt small farmers that sell directly to consumers, restaurants, or retailers within state lines. It would also apply to producers who sell within 275 miles and make less than $500,000 annually. The selling radius of 275 miles redefines local, which was set up in the 2008 Farm Bill as 400 miles. An amendment not so lucky was the proposal to ban BPA from baby bottles. Senator Dianne Feinstein relented on her crusade to include this in the food safety bill, fearing Republicans would be convinced by the chemical industry to block the bill if it was included. This decision comes on the heels of the Canadian Health and Environment Ministries declaring BPA a toxic substance last month. Canada was the first country in the world to ban the substance. And a study released this week by the USDA and Feeding America reported that 1 in 6 Americans are at risk of hunger. Specifically, more than 50 million Americans and 1 in 4 children were at risk of hunger in 2009. In Indiana, struggles with health care were a major factor. 57% of food bank clients had unpaid medical or hospital bills, and 24% lacked or had a member in their household who lacked health insurance. As far as legislation to fight the hunger problem, the Healthy Hunger-Free Kids Act has passed the Senate, but is still waiting for action from the House. Get more news updates like this all week long by liking us on Facebook and following us on Twitter. For Earth Eats, I'm Anna Pranger.
We'll do this first recipe in two parts because it's somewhat labor-intensive. Here is a perfect opportunity to recruit some sous chefs in your house to help with the breading of the fried green tomatoes.
Fried green tomatoes. So today we're at the Whistle Stop Cafe. And we're going to do some green tomatoes. It's at the end of the season, what you do is you pick all your tomatoes, even if they're still green, and you can wrap them in newspaper, put them in a box, put them in the root cellar, put them in the cool, dark place in your house or in the bottom of your refrigerator. And they'll keep for a long time, and there's lots of ways you can do them. You can make green tomato jam. You can make green tomato pickles. But one of the favorites is fried green tomatoes. So that's what we're going to do today. So you have these nice firm green tomatoes, and there's always kind of a core that you need to cut out, kind of like a little cork. Okay, and then we're going to slice them, and I slice a big tomato into 4 or 5 pieces, and I always cut off that little bottom butt of the tomato because the coating won't stick to that, so you want to cut that off. The next step, we're going to do what we call in the business, it's a SBP, which is Standard Breading Procedure. And what that means is that we're going to have flour, which we're going to season, then we're going to have a wet mixture, and then we're going to have the coating. So the flour we're just going to season with some salt and pepper. And I like to be pretty generous with that. So use your fingers to mix it up, and you want to feel, put enough salt in there until you really feel it. Now we're going to do the wet part. And I've got a little bowl here. We're going to crack a couple nice eggs. Okay, we're going to whisk that. And we're going to add a little bit of buttermilk to that. Well, the buttermilk gives it a little bit of a tang to it, and it's also a little richer. Even though there's not fat in it, it's very, very lean to eat. It has a richer mouthfeel. Okay, we're going to add just a little bit of salt and pepper to that, too. So we're seasoning every little step of the way. Okay, and then finally we're going to have our dry mix. Okay, and for that, we've got some of that wonderful cornmeal. Now, I've got that cornmeal right here, and it's really, really high in vitamin K and lots of nutrients. All right, we're going to add some Parmesan cheese. This is a grated Parmesan cheese. We're going to add a little bit of granulated garlic. I'm using granulated garlic because this is a dry coating, so I wouldn't use fresh garlic in this. And then at the end, I'm going to add what I call my Greek garlic seasoning, dried herbs, a little bit of chili flake, and shaved garlic.
When you bread the tomatoes, make one hand your dry hand and the other hand your wet hand to avoid making a royal mess. We'll leave Chef Orr to prep the tomatoes. Time for another seasonal favorite, something that probably makes an appearance in your Thanksgiving meal, sweet potatoes. Sweet potatoes are healthy little suckers. When they're eaten with their skin, they have more fiber than oatmeal, and one medium potato contains 42 times the daily recommendation for vitamin C, all for under 200 calories.
They're just a remarkable vegetable. And if you're going to eat a potato, a sweet potato is just heads and shoulders above a regular white potato.
Christine Barber is the author of the cookbooks Indiana Cooks and Homegrown Indiana, and she's the food editor of Bloom magazine. And boy, does she have a lot to say about sweet potatoes.
They go well with curry. They go well with warm cinnamon kinds of flavors, ginger kinds of flavors. I really like to roast them and then mash them with some orange juice and a little bit of butter.
But she didn't always have this complex of a relationship with sweet potatoes. She was first introduced to them, like many of us are, at Thanksgiving dinner.
You know, everybody has a mom's sweet potato recipe, but my mom's is the best. It was sweet potatoes, boiled and peeled, and then bathed in a caramel of brown sugar with cinnamon and butter. It wouldn't have been Thanksgiving without having those. They were always the signature dish for me, especially because we always put a little bit of salt in it, and it got that salted caramel flavor that now is a big trendy thing. And at the time, it was just like, why are you salting dessert?
Why not try this recipe for your Thanksgiving feast this year? Read Christine Barber's recipe on our website, eartheats.org. Alrighty, the tomatoes are ready to be fried, so back to the kitchen we go. Chef Orr will be using the restaurant's fryer for the green tomatoes, but you can fry these at home. He recommends what's called a shallow fry.
You want the fat to go up about a third to two-thirds up the whatever item you're frying, and that would be called a shallow fry. And you can just do that right on the stovetop. The other thing you could do, if you wanted to do a less fattening version, is you could just kind of sprinkle them with olive oil and bake them in a hot oven. And you just want to fry them till they're nice and crisp. And the thing about fried green tomatoes, you know, as opposed to, you know, frying red tomatoes, which are sweeter, these have a nice acidity to them. When you bite into them, they're firmer, so they've got a little bit of a crunch. They're also, there's less liquid in them, so they aren't going to kind of bubble away and pop as much as if you're going to fry a regular tomato. You can see how nicely coated they are. It's a thin coating, though, so it's not like a real heavy breading. You can see the tomatoes right through that coating. And one thing that's important whenever you're frying, when you get them out of the fryer, you want to hit them with some salt and pepper. If you do that while they're still hot from the fryer, the salt will stick better, so it won't just kind of fall off. And that gives us that little saline fix that everybody loves from fried food. Nothing better than salt and grease. All right, and there we go. Now we'll take them up front and put them on a plate. Some nice goat cheese from Capriol Farms. Arugula pesto we're going to put on top. And then finish it with some of that red pepper sauce around the outside. Maybe a little purple basil leaf to garnish it. And that's my version of fried green tomatoes.
These are great for fried green tomato sandwiches. Or serve them for breakfast with fried eggs and bacon. Or do a stack of them with cheese and tomato sauce in between, then bake them, sort of like a Parmesan. If you're a visual person, see step-by-step photos of the process on our website, eartheats.org. And from the homepage, submit your photos of your kitchen creations. Scroll down to the bottom right and click Add Your Photos. We're cooking with pumpkin next, creating a seasonal, savory side dish, but we're not using your typical jack-o'-lantern carving pumpkin. If you've ever tried to cook with a jack-o'-lantern, it's almost like spaghetti squash on the inside. It's very mild and doesn't have a whole lot of flavor. So instead, chef, tell us which varieties of squash work well in the kitchen.
Well, I like the French baking pumpkin, which is kind of a muted green. It's very, very heavy. And one of the ways you can tell a good cooking pumpkin is that it will be very heavy for its size. There are things like the delicata squash. You have a really funny one is this peanut pumpkin, which has these weird-looking peanuts on the outside of it.
Obviously, in addition to the flesh of a pumpkin, you're going to eat the seeds a lot of time, too. And the dish that we're presenting our listeners today uses the seeds in a fun sort of way as a garnish sort of on the end. And, Chef, actually, I've got really great news. You get the day off.
Yeah, we're going to let Chef Bob do this one.
Okay, Bob Adkins. I'm Chef de Cuisine under Chef Daniel. And today, as he has already alluded to, we are going to slice this big boy up. The recipe that we have calls for a 2-pound French variety. First of all, we got to tackle this beast. I'm going to need a bigger knife for that.
Chef Bob, you're scaring me a little bit with that.
Shouldn't be scared of your knives. So we've got our pumpkin open. What we're going to do is we're going to take out the pith and the seeds here in the middle. Looks like pumpkin murder in here right now. Cut the pumpkin into thin strips, about maybe a quarter inch. Keep them nice and even so they cook evenly. And while I was doing this, I had my big, heavy cast iron pan heating up. So we've got our pumpkin here. We're going to take some nice raw sugar. We're going to take a little au poivre. If you don't have the au poivre, you can use some freshly cracked pepper. Some nice, fresh sea salt all in there. We're going to take a little bit of olive oil. We're going to mix the spices up. And then we're going to use that. It's kind of a thick paste almost. We're going to toss the pumpkin slices with this mixture. All right, so it's coated really nice and evenly. We're going to just place them right into our pan here. We're going to cook these just long enough to caramelize on each side, and because we've only cut them about a quarter inch thick, they won't take more than a couple minutes on each side. All right, so they're pretty much finished here. While I'm getting ready to plate the sautéed pumpkin slices, I'm going to take some of these great green pumpkin seeds. These are grown specifically for the seeds. They're not as fibrous as, say, the seeds you'd get out of a typical jack-o'-lantern. So we're just going to put these into a pan, just keep moving them, and it'll take about 30 seconds, 45 seconds. You can have nice toasted pumpkin seeds to serve with this dish. All right, so we got some nice toasted seeds here. You can really smell that toastiness. It's almost nutty. I'm going to take a little bit of extra virgin olive oil and just drizzle over the pumpkin. We're going to take this lemon here and try to catch all the seeds. Just give it a nice drizzle there. And then you get a very nice, healthy alternative to utilizing the pumpkin.
If that dish sounds like something that would work well on your Thanksgiving menu, check out our hour-long Thanksgiving special. We give you tips for preparing the perfect turkey, recipes to satisfy your vegetarian guests, and we'll play some music and tell some stories along the way. Listen and print recipes all at eartheats.org.
Support for Earth Eats comes from Blooming Foods Market and Deli. Information at bloomingfoods.coop.
Production support also comes from goodsforcooks.com. Online at goodsforcooks.com.
Earth Eats is a production of WFIU Public Media. Thanks for listening. I'm Chef Daniel Orr.
And I'm Annie Corrigan. See you next time.